I like focusing on the word ahimsa that Gandhi used, well, because it's a Sanskrit word, so it's from his culture, and thinking of nonviolence as a positive quality that we can develop within ourselves that influences what happens around us to go more towards safety, growth, creativity, satisfaction, that through that intention and attitude of ahimsa or nonviolence, that we can cultivate within ourselves. And nonviolent communication that is developed by a man called Marshall Rosenberg in the United States about 40 years ago initially, when he began to put the model together, is a like a practical means of developing that quality. And I love the way that people have come to my workshops or invited me in, and other trainers in nonviolent communication, into their settings from, for example, from all the different religions. So I've done workshops for Christian sisters who are nuns, for Buddhist monks, for people with who are not interested in being part of any religion at all. So there's something very universal about this information, and very attractive to people once they understand the possibility of coming to something that's more satisfying than their present way of communicating and more effective.
Thank you for that. On Tradio, we're very interested in the environment and ethics and animal welfare as well. We tend to have people making programs about that. And I wondered if NVC principles extend to our relationship with the earth and with animals. Clearly it's a communication, well, based around communication between human beings, or an internal dialogue you might have with yourself. But how might we look at the relationship we have with the earth and the earth's needs, and forgive ourselves, and then create a symbiotic and happy and fruitful relationship with the earth and with the animals?
Several things come to mind. I'm not sure how long we've got, so I'll just say one or two. Let's start, if you like, at the part of the earth that's perhaps the closest to us, the animal kingdom, and then work our way down to the earth itself somehow. I only mean down in the sense of towards
what, the
physically.
Soil.
The soil is lower physically than I am. For example, I know a couple of people who are actually teaching nonviolent communication by bringing people together with horses. And by having them, just giving them a little bit of information about the intention behind nonviolent communication, for example, which is part of the learning. It's not just a process about steps and mechanisms. It's about consciousness of our intention. And when we have this intention to seek this quality of connection that's very respectful and mutual. And I won't go into the detail now, but that she's finding that people really understand the process of nonviolent communication quicker because the horse so immediately gives feedback to the way they're approached. And you can probably imagine how if you approach a horse in one way, it will, if you like, quotes, be violent back. It will do some actions that you don't like. It will kick out, or it won't do what you ask it to do. Approached in another way, there's a tremendous possibility for cooperation with understanding, and the way understanding means understanding the needs of the horse and the needs of the person who's with that horse, and putting those together. And I think my sense as well is that once people begin to learn and get it about this, the way needs are to do with life in the moment, like what is important and alive in the moment in another person. It's kind of it's just saying the word need sounds like, oh yeah, we all know about needs, you know, there's needs for this and needs for food and needs for harmony. But there's something very different when you look at that need in the present. Like right now, you know, we have a need to work together, to collaborate, to see if we can share something that's important to us. And perhaps the people who are listening to this are sort of curious enough to still be wondering if this is going to meet their needs to grow in an area that will make a difference in the part of life that they're focused on at the moment. You know, whether it's changing the way people react to, you know, the climate and their behaviours around that, or whether it's in their family or whatever. And once one learns to feel that possibility, My sense is that there's another kind of empathy for bigger systems like the earth as a system. And as you said earlier, something about forgiving ourselves, that there are processes in nonviolent communication that really help to resolve our own pain at the things we've done ourselves or not done.
Mm.
And these days, we have so much awareness about what's harming the planet and the ecosystems that probably we all carry a little or a lot of guilt.
Sure. Well, it's disabling, isn't it? You think, well, why bother? I'm so guilty, I might as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb.
And so unless we can resolve, once we resolve some of that, we actually have more energy, and our energy kind of comes up again towards taking steps, even if they're small steps, in the direction of what can be done that would support things.
Mm.
And at the same time, understanding I have needs and I don't know another way to meet my needs sometimes, for example, than to travel.
Mm.
But at least to be seeking that, to be interested, to look out for what would work for me and for the planet, if you like.
Sure, like an inquiry, an ongoing inquiry, and open-heartedness, open-mindedness.
Because what we haven't said yet is that once you're in touch with the need level, it's very surprising that what opens up is a new kind of creativity.
Mm.
If you're judging yourself or other people, it really blocks the possibility of new ideas flowing in. So I do see that freeing ourselves from guilt, but still staying in touch with the unmet needs we have. For example, I would like, you know, people all over the earth to be able to stay where they're living at the moment, not have to move because of floods.
Mm.
You know, I really mind about that, but it's painful to mind about it, and then to take an airplane somewhere.
Yes.
But if I can somehow stay in touch with it's painful and I mind about it, and I don't know another strategy yet, but stay in touch with that, then the creativity comes from there.
Which is very different to denial, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the more, if it's painful in a sort of self-judgmental way or people judging each other, it brings up defensiveness, and we're not so likely to access the creative possibilities that we might discover.
Well, okay, well, thank you for that. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to what you said. That was we're not afraid to ask the big questions on Tradio, clearly.
So that was a big question.
It was, wasn't it? I threw. But maybe one thing to say is, if people want to find out more about your work, where could they look? Is there a website people can visit?
Thank you. There's a website which is www.nvcdancefloors.com.
Okay, so we've got
nvcdancefloors.com.
All the W's, nvcdancefloors.com.
That's right.
Great, okay.
And I, there was one other thing I'd like to say before we finish.
Mm.
Are you ready for that? Because we started with a little bit of specifics about nonviolent communication, and I'd just like to come back to that.
Sure.
Because sometimes when people refer to these four ingredients that you referred to at the beginning, observations, meaning what we see and hear, actually we mean by observations, our feelings in relation to that, our needs met or unmet, and our requests, which are to do with the strategies to meet them. That sounds a little simplistic, and it is simple, but it's subtle, because there's other layers in nonviolent communication which we haven't emphasized so much in this interview.
Right.
Which make a big difference, so that you end up with quite a number of options, not just, it's not like an A, B, C, D thing. There's movement, there's flow, there's choices all the time in where we focus our attention, whether I'm expressing to you or listening to you or connecting with myself internally, for example. Those are three choices. And so you put those three together with those four ingredients, and now you're up to 12 steps immediately.
Yes.
And there's a little more to it even than that, but, you know, we won't reveal everything because, of course, it's fun for people to go and look that up. And there's this quality of being conscious of our intention. And what people see once they see someone who's very fluent in nonviolent communication in action is that it's actually far more subtle than they imagined at first.
Right.
And there is a flow and a naturalness that's possible that can combine with this consciousness in communication once you kind of get it. Like any learning, anything like driving.
Like the language again, I guess.
Like language, like driving. It feels so awkward to start with.
Yeah.
And then after a while you do it without hardly thinking, and it becomes a more natural seeming process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like driving, it's very easy to see how attractive it is. as a method of communicating. And then the layers of subtlety or sophistication are there, aren't they, to be enjoyed and to become a better and better driver.
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Apparently you can do advanced driving courses, and I like the other metaphor we had about language, because somehow I like learning languages more than advanced driving. But I love it that nonviolent communication never seems to end for me in terms of revealing new awareness and depth and clarity and possibilities in my communication.
Yeah.
And I like things like that, things that are simple, learnable, and yet have depth. You can hear the same thing 40 times and it still sounds fresh and new, and you think, why did I never hear that before?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, okay, thank you very much indeed.
Okay.